Shalom and welcome to Rambam Yomi. This is Rabbi Mati Novik. Join me as we learn the Rambam's Mishnah Torah, one perek each day. Today we'll be learning Hilchot Ishut Perek Dalad. This perek continues with the dinim of Kiddushin which began in the last perek. The first topic is the need for consent on the part of both parties involved in the Kiddushin, and how to evaluate cases where the woman's consent may be lacking. The bulk of the perek deals with cases of Kiddushin when one party involved is not able to be a partner in a full-fledged marriage due to a problem of Isser or of personal status. Many of the types of people we learned about in Perek Bet make an appearance in this perek. Finally, the end of the perek discusses the validity of Kiddushei Kesef performed with an amount smaller than a Shavah Pruta, and cases in which the Kesef Kiddushin is not put directly into the woman's hands. Halacha Aleph. Ein ha'isha mitkadeshet ela lirtzona, v'mekadesh isha ba'al korcha eina mikudeshet, aval ha'ish shanasuhu ad shikadesh al korcho harezo mikudeshet. V'yesh la'ish lekadesh nashim rabot ka'achat, v'hu shiye ba'kesef im kidesh b'chesef puta l'chol achat v'achat. V'yesh la'achat mehen o la'acher lekabel ha'kidushin al yidei kulan midatan. Unlike gerushin, which can be done by Torah law even against the expressed desire of the wife to remain married, kiddushin are only effective if they are done with the consent of the woman. If anyone is mekadesh a woman against her will, the kiddushin are completely invalid. On the other hand, if a man is forced to be mekadesh a woman, the kiddushin are valid. What is the difference between the cases? When it comes to the usual kinyanim of buying and selling, a kinyan performed under duress is valid. The phrase used in the Gemara for this regarding the seller is Talyuhu Vizavin Zvine Zvini. So why are kiddushin invalid when done against the will of the woman? The Gemara explains that this is a rabbinic intervention to nullify the marriage. Hu asa shelo kahogen, lefichach asu imo shelo kahogen. He, the husband, acted improperly in forcing marriage upon her, and therefore Chazal acted toward him in kind by nullifying the marriage retroactively. Afki inhu rabbanan lekiddushin mine. As the Magen Mishnah explains, Chazal didn't intervene in the same manner in a case where the man was forced to do the kiddushin, because the husband can always divorce afterwards a wife he didn't want to marry, even against her will, by Torah law, as we explained. A man can be mekadesh many women when he was allowed to have many wives in the days before Chayim and Dereinu Gershom, by giving to one of them enough money that there is a pruta or more for each woman. One of the women, or a shaliach, can receive the money on behalf of all the women if they all consent to become married. The next four halachot discuss cases in which the circumstances surrounding a kiddushin establish a doubt as to whether the woman, or one of the two women, really consented to it. For example, a case in Halacha Dalet. If a man gives a woman money as kesef kiddushin, and she replies, "Put it on that rock," we interpret her response based on the status of the rock. If the rock doesn't belong to her, then we understand that she is rejecting the kiddushin, equivalent to saying, "Throw it in the sea." If the rock belongs to her alone, then we understand that she is accepting the kiddushin and using the rock as a form of kinyan chatzer to acquire the money rather than taking it in her hand. If the rock is the joint property of both of them, the man and the woman, then it is not clear whether her statement reflects acceptance or rejection, and so she is safek mikudeshet. We omit the details of the remaining cases in Halachot Bet through Hay, and we continue with Halacha Vav. Hamakadesh be'ed echad, Ein choshishin lekidushav. Af al pi sheshnehem odim. Kal vachomer la mekadesh belo edim. Hamekadesh bifsulei edut shel Torah, eina mekudeshet. Bifsulei edut shel divrei sofrim, o beedim shein safek psulei Torah, im ratza lichnos, chozer u mekadesh bichsherim. Vim lo ratza lichnos, tzricha menu get misafek. As we discussed, the witnesses to an act of kiddushin are edei kiyum, meaning that the act is meaningless without two witnesses, even if both the man and the woman admit that it occurred. So an act of kiddushin performed with no witnesses, or even a single witness, is entirely invalid, as is one performed in the presence of two edim who are psulim midoraita. If the edim are psulim midorabanan, or if there is a safek if they are psulim midoraita, then the woman is safek mikudeshet. If the couple wants to be married, then they must repeat the kiddushin in front of valid witnesses. And if at least one of them doesn't, then she requires a get due to the possibility that the first kiddushin were valid. Why does the Rambam write that the woman is safek mikudeshet if the edim are psulim midrabanan? Shouldn't the Kiddushin be completely valid midoraita in this case, without any suffik, because the Edim are kasherim on a Torah level? Leon Peshuta explains that in similar manner to the Divrei Sofrim of Kiddushei Kesef that we discuss in Perek Aleph and in Perek Gimel, some forms of Psulei Edutei Rabbanan may really be psulim on a Torah level, just the source of the disqualification is one of the Yud Gimel Midot. The Rambam may have been unsure about whether each type of psul edut rabbanan is really pasul midoraita, and therefore concluded that a woman who receives kiddushin in front of any such edim is safek mikudeshet. Halacha zayin, katan shekidesh ein kiddushav kiddushin, aval gadol shekidesh et haktana haitoma, o ktana sheyatza mirshut av, im haita pechuta mibat sheish, af al pi shi nivonat lachash biyoter, umakeret umavchenet, Ein kan shein kiddushin veinat shricha lema'ein. Vim haita mibat eser v'mala, af al pi shi sechala biyoter, ho'il v'nitkadsha ledata, harei zo mekudeshet lemi'un. Haita mibat sheish ad sof eser, bodkin et yofi data. Im mavchenet umakira iskei hanisuin bakiddushin, tzricha lema'ein. Vim lav eina mitkadeshet lemi'un veinat shricha lema'ein. We saw in the last parak that a ketana can become married if her father accepts, even without her consent, kiddushin on her behalf. Are there other situations in which a child can be married? There is no meaning at all to kiddushin performed by a katan, and the father of a boy has no ability to marry him off as the father of a girl does. So a katan can never be a husband, with a possible exception of a case of yibum, but we'll get to that later in Sefer Nashim. What about a ketana who is not under the auspices of her father? This can happen either if her father dies, or, recall from Halacha Yud Bet of the last perek, if she becomes married all the way to the stage of Nisuin, and then is divorced or widowed while still a ketana. Even if her father is alive, he no longer has any control over her after Nisuin. In either of these cases, it is possible for her to marry by herself, but the marriage is a special kind called Kiddushei Miyun, which we'll learn more about shortly. But at what age can a girl be mitkadeshet in Kiddushei Miyun? The Rambam's answer is split into three categories of age. Below age 6, there is no possibility of Kiddushei Miyun even if she is very smart. From age 10 and up, she can be mikudeshet lemiyun even if her intellect is very weak. And in the age range of 6 to 10, it depends on her intellectual ability. She is mikudeshet lemiyun if she understands the concepts of Kiddushin and Nisuin. The Shulchan Aruch accepts the Rambam's tripartite division, except for the condition in the age range of 6 to 10. The relevant factor for the Shulchan Aruch is not whether she understands the concepts of Kiddushin and Nisuin, but whether she is able to hold on to the money she receives for Kiddushin and not lose it. The Ramah quotes two other opinions. The first believes that no ketana can accept kiddushin on her own, and the entire institution of kiddushei miyun is limited to a case where the father is deceased and the kiddushin is accepted by the girl's mother and brothers. The second opinion in the Ramah is that of the Raivin in his Hasaga here. There are two ways a girl can be mikudeshet lemiyun. The first is if the father is deceased, and the mother and brothers accept the kiddushin, in which case the girl must be intellectually capable of holding on to her kiddushin money. The second track of kiddushei miyun is if the girl marries entirely on her own, either after the father dies or after she has gone through nisuin, in which case her required intellectual level is higher, the level of pe'utot, of being able to understand commercial transactions on a basic level. Halacha chet, keitzad mitkadeshet lemiyun, she'im nitkadsha, ולא רצת לשב עם בעלה, צריכה למען בפני שניים, ולומר איני רוצה בו, ויוצא בלא גט, כמו שהתבאר בהלכות גירושין, וזוהי הנקראת ממענת. ולמה יוצא בלא גט? מפני שאין קידושי הקידושין גמורים מהתורה, אלא קידושי קטנה זו מדברי סופרים, והן תלויין, שאם ישבה עם בעלה עד שגדלה, גמרו קידושיה, ונעשת אשת איש גמורה, ואינו צריך לחזור ולקדשה אחר שגדלה. ואם לא רצת לשב, צריכה למען, ותצא בלא גט. How do kiddushei miyun work? Miyun means refusal, and the marriage can be dissolved without a get whenever the wife wishes. She just needs to tell two witnesses that she no longer wants to remain married, and the entire kiddushin is retroactively unraveled. The reason that no get is necessary is that kiddushei miyun are midrabanan, and their status remains in limbo until she becomes a gedola. The moment she becomes a gedola and is still married because she didn't do miyun, the Rambam writes here, the kiddushin are completed and she becomes a full eshet ish midoraita. The Ravid objects to this point, and the Rambam himself in Hilchot Gerushin Perikud Aleph clarifies, she only becomes an eshet ish midoraita after her husband has bia with her for the first time after she becomes a gedola. But in any event, ending the kiddushin by miyun alone without a get is only possible until she becomes a gedola. Halacha tet. Chereish nasa pekachat, v'chein chereishet shniseit lepikeach, ein kiddushehen gemurin mina Torah, ela midivrei sofrim. Lefichach, im ba pikeach v'kidesh eshet chereish apikachat, harei zo mekudeshet lasheni kiddushin gemurin, v'noten get v'him utert v'ala chereish. Aval shoteh shekidesh pikachat, o pikeach shekidesh shotah, ein kan kiddushin klal, lo midivrei Torah, v'lo midivrei sofrim. The marriage of a pikachat to a cheresh, or of a chereshet to a pikeach, is entirely midrabanan. So if a pikeach is mekadesh a pikachat who is already married to a cheresh, then his kiddushin are valid, because a kiddushin d'oraita overrides a kiddushin d'rabanan. If the pikeach gives this pikachat a get, she can then go back to her first husband, the cheresh. As Alecha Mishnah explains, the chiddush of this last din is that we don't consider this a case of machzir grushato, returning his divorced wife, even though the pikachat was married to another man in the interim. Unlike a cheresh who has kiddushin on a derabanan level, a shota has no kiddushin at all, even midrabanan. The Rama distinguishes between different levels of shota. A shota gamur indeed has no kiddushin at all, but if someone has lucid but weak dat, or if someone is at times a shota and at times a bar dat, like someone who suffers from certain neurological disorders, then we must be machmir with regard to his kiddushin. We'll leave for another occasion a discussion of who qualifies for each of these categories of shota, but for now we note that shota is not a monolithic category like cheresh and katan, and there can be different levels of shota with different halachic details applying to each one. Halacha yud. Sarish kidesh bein sris chama bein sris adam v'chein ailunichin katsha harei elu kiddushin gemurin. Tumtum v'androgynus, shekidshu isha o shekidshan ish, harei ilu kiddushei safek, utzrichin get misafek. The saris and the ilonit, even though each is incapable of having children, and therefore exempt from the laws of Yibum, are perfectly capable of getting married. Recall that a tumtum and an androgynus each has a status of safek with regard to gender. Therefore, if either one is mekadesh a woman, or if a man is mekadesh either of them, a get is required due to safek. The Rambam moves now to cases of kiddushin between people who are forbidden to each other. Halacha yud bet. Hamikadesh achat min ha'arayot lo asa klum she'ein kiddushin tofsin ba'erva. Chutz min hanida she'hamikadesh et hanida harezo mekudeshet kiddushin gmurin ve'ein ra'ui la'asot kein. If one is mekadesh a woman who is forbidden to him as an erva, like a close relative or a woman who is already married and who cannot provide proof that she was divorced from her first husband, then the kiddushin are meaningless. We say that kiddushim are not tofsim with an erva. The one exception is a woman who is a nida, whom one should not be mekadesh lechatchila, but if he does, the kiddushim are binding even though the nida appears in the list of arayot in Parshat Acharemot. Other Rishonim believe that it is permitted l'chatchila to mekadesh a woman who's a nida. And the Rambam's stringency may be related to his opinion, which we'll learn in Perek Yud, and also rejected by many Rishonim, that nisuin, the second stage of marriage, is completely ineffective with a nida. Halacha Yud Gimel. Eshet ish shepashta yada v'kibla kiddushin me'acher b'fnei bala, harei zo mekudeshet l'sheni, sha'isha shamra l'bala b'fanav, gerashtani ne'emenet, chazaka eina mi'iza panea b'fnei bala. We'll learn in Hilchot Gerushin Perek Yud Bet that a woman is assumed not to have the chutzpah to lie to her husband's face by telling him that he divorced her if he never did so. Hence, if she makes such a claim to his face, then she is believed. Therefore, if a seemingly married woman, that is, a woman who we know to have been married before, accepts kiddushin from another man in front of her husband, she is mekudeshet to the second man, because the very act of accepting kiddushin from this man in her husband's presence is a form of telling her husband that he divorced her. The Rambam seems to believe that she is completely married to the second man, But the Ravid believes that this is only lechumra. She requires a get in order to marry someone else. But she is not allowed to continue to the stage of nisuin with the second man until we know for a fact that she received a get from her first husband. The Shulchan Aruch accepts the Rambam's opinion, and the Ramah accepts the Ravid's. The Ramah, however, quotes an opinion that we can no longer rely, in our day of insolence and pritzut, on the assumption that a married woman would never have the chutzpah to tell her husband that he divorced her. Therefore, even the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch would admit nowadays that in this case, the kiddushin of the woman to the second man is only lechumra, to require a get in order to allow her to remarry. But under no circumstances are we lenient to allow the marriage to proceed to the stage of nisuin. Halacha Yud Dalet. Hamekadesh achat min hashniyot o meisurei lavin o meisurei asei, v'chein hayavam shekidesh sarat yevama, harei zo mekudeshet kiddushin gemurin. Chutz miyevama shenikatcha lezar, shehi mekudeshet besafek, nistapek lachachamim im hakiddushin tofsim biyevama, kesha'ar chayvei lavin, o ein kiddushin tofsim ba ke'erva, va'af al pi she'asur lo lichnos achat mikol elu, harei ze megaresh beget. If one is Mekadesh a woman who is usher to him in any Isser of lesser severity than the Arayot, recall from Perek Aleph that these include the Shniot Arayot, the Isurei Lavim, and the Isurei Asei, then the Kiddushin are Tofsim despite the Isser. The one exception is a Suffik, in the case that a Shomeret Yavam, a widow awaiting Yibum or Chalitza from the brother of her late husband, receives Kiddushin from another man. The pasuk forbidding a shomeret yavam to marry someone else reads lo tiye eshet hamet hachutza liish zar, and Chazal are unsure if the words lo tiye imply only a prohibition or even that the kiddushin aren't tofsim at all, as if she were an erva. Therefore, the shomeret yavam in this case is safek mikudeshet. Halacha tetvav hamekadesh goya o shivcha einan kiddushin. Ela harehi achar kiddushin kamo shaita kodam kiddushin, v'chein goy ve'ebed shekidshu bat Yisrael, ein kiddushehen kiddushin. Yisrael mishumad shekidesh, af ha pishu oved avodah zarah birtzono, harei ilu kiddushin gemurin, utzricha mimenu get. If a Jewish man is mekadesh a non-Jewish woman, or a shivcha knanit, this is ineffective, that is, the kiddushin aren't tofsim. And the same is true if a non-Jewish man, or an eved knani, is mekadesh a Jewish woman. An apostate Jew who worships idols is still a Jew, and so if he's Mekadesh a woman, it is effective and she requires a get in order to marry someone else. Halacha tetzayin. Ha-Mekadesh isha shechetzia shivcha vechetzia bat chorin eina mikudeshet kiddushin gemurin ad shetishtachrer. V'chivan shenishtachra gamru kiddusheha kiddushei ktana shegadla ve'ino tzorich lekadsha kiddushin acherin. Ba acher v'kidsha achar shenishtachra harei ze sfei kiddushin. Here the Rambam discusses Kiddushin with a chetzi shivcha chetzi bat chorin, a shivcha knanit who was owned jointly by two partners, and then one of them freed his share in her. He seems to make two contradictory statements. On the one hand, someone who is mekadesh this woman is only partially married to her, because she is half shivcha, with whom Kiddushin aren't tofsim, until she is completely freed, at which point the Kiddushin become a full Kiddushin automatically, similar to the case of Ketana from Halacha Chet. On the other hand, the Rambam writes that if someone else is mekadesh her right after she is completely freed, then she is safek mekudeshet to both men. Why is she safek mekudeshet to the second man if the first Kiddushin comes to fruition as soon as she is freed? The Ravid in his Asaga here points out this contradiction and accepts the second statement at the expense of the first. The Kiddushin with the first man never come to fruition, and he has to be Mekadesher again after she is freed if he wants the Kiddushin to be complete. If he doesn't do so before a second man is Mekadesher, then she is Safik Mekudesha to both men. The Kesef Mishnah suggests that the Rambam means, like he seems to mean in the case of Ketana too, as we explained in Halacha Chet, that after the Shivcha is completely freed, the Kiddushin to the first husband are completed only with the first time that the husband has bia with her. If this doesn't happen before a second man is Mekadesher, then she is Safik Mekudesha to both of the men. In contrast to this case, in which there is a partial kiddushin from the start, Halacha Yud Zayin says that in the reverse case of a chetzi eved, chetzi ben chorin, who is mekadesh a regular Jewish woman, the kiddushim are entirely in doubt, safek mekudeshet. Since the man is the active participant in the kiddushin, his hybrid status, half able to do Kiddushin and half unable, may ruin the Kiddushin entirely, while the hybrid status of the Chetzi Shifcha Chetzi Bat Chorin in the first case still allows for a partial Kiddushin to take effect. The list of problematic cases of Kiddushin due to the identity of one of the sides ends in Halacha Yudchet with the case of a shikor, a drunk man who is Mekadesh a woman. This is effective unless he has reached Shichruto Shel Lot, a level of drunkenness in which he is unaware of his own actions. Interestingly, the Rambam says nothing about Kiddushin with a drunk woman. Since Kiddushin requires da'at on the part of the man, but only consent on the part of the woman, it may be that even consent given in a state of shichruto shalot is considered sufficient for the Kiddushin to be valid. Halacha Yud Tet. Hamekadesh bepachot miputa eina mekudeshet. Kidsha ba'ochel o bichli v'chayotze bo sheshaveh pachot miputa harizu mekudeshet b'safek, u'tzricha get misafek. Shema davar ze sheveh pruta b'mokom acher. Halamadata, shekol mekadesh b'sheveh kesef, im haya sheveh pruta ba'ota medina, hare ilu kidushei vadai. V'meino sheveh pruta, hare ilu kidushei safek. As we saw in the last perek, kiddushei kesef are valid only when the amount of money used is at least a pruta. So if a man is mekadesh a woman with money worth less than this amount, the kiddushin are definitely invalid. But if the man gives the woman shava kesef rather than kesef, like a food item or a kli, then even if it is worth less than a pruta, she is still mikudeshet misafek because the value of shava kesef varies from place to place. And maybe this food or kli is worth more than a pruta somewhere else. But the Rambam adds a caveat in the second half of this halacha. Yira'eli. Shiim kidesh betavshil o biarak sheino mitkayem b'chayotzei behen, im lo hayu sheve pruta ba'oto makom, eina mikudeshet klal, sharei davar ze eino magia l'makom acher ad shipaseid v'yovad, v'lo yihi sheve klum, v'davar shel tam hu ze v'ra'ui lismoch alav. The Rambam adds, with a preface of Yira'eli indicating that this reflects his own understanding and lacks a clear source in Chazal, that this concern that maybe the food or kli is worth a pruta elsewhere is only relevant if it can be physically brought to that location and used or sold there. So if the kiddushin is done with a cooked food or vegetable, which will not survive the journey to anywhere outside the immediate vicinity, then this consideration doesn't apply, and the kiddushin are invalid if the food is not worth a pruta wherever the kiddushin takes place. This opinion of the Rambam clearly reflects a certain understanding of kiddushei kesef. The important attribute of the kesef or shava kesef given by the man to the woman, measured as a pruta, is clearly not its objective worth. If objective value was what mattered, then we should be concerned even if the perishable item is worth a pruta in some far-off land. Or alternatively, we could choose to limit ourselves to the location of the kiddushin and never worry about value in other places. Rather, what matters is the practical ability of the woman to receive benefit worth a pruta from the item given to her. So, we take into account how the item may be valued elsewhere, but only if that can lead to practical benefit worth a pruta. Not if by the time the Shava Kesef gets to that other place, it's lost all its value because it's been ruined. We'll see in the next parak several more indications of this approach of the Rambam, that the value of Kesef Kiddushin is measured in terms of how much benefit the woman may get out from it, practically speaking. Halacha Chaf says that there must be a pruta worth of kesef kiddushin at the moment of the kiddushin, and it may not be made up later with additional gifts sent by the man to the woman. Similarly, if a katan is mekadesh a woman, ineffectively, as we saw in Halacha Zayin, and then sends further gifts after he becomes a gadol, the kiddushin remain invalid. In both of these cases, the gifts are not sent in order to serve as kiddushin, but as a follow-up to an act of kiddushin, which turns out to be invalid. Halacha Chaf Aleph. Hamekadesh et ha'isha b'chesef o b'shtar, eino tzarich sheiten ha'kiddushin letoch yada, ela kevan sheratzat lizrok la'kiddusheha, uzrakam bein letoch yada, bein letoch heka, o letoch chatzera, o letoch sadeshala, harei zo mekudeshet. Haita omedet b'rshut ha'bal, tzarich sheiten letoch yada, o letoch heka. When performing kiddushin with kesef or with shtar, it isn't necessary to put the kesef or shtar directly into the woman's hand, and it suffices to throw the kiddushin into her hand, her bosom, her courtyard, or her field. This concept is known as Kinyan Chatzer. From the words of the Rambam, it sounds like she must consent specifically for the kesef or shtar to be thrown. But several Achronim believe that as long as she consents to the Kiddushin itself, it isn't necessary that she give specific consent to throw the instrument of the Kiddushin. If she is standing in the husband's domain, then the kesef or shtar must be placed on her person. Continuing in Halacha Chaf Aleph, Hayta omedet v'irshut shehi shel shnehem, v'zarak la kiddushei midata, v'lo higiu liada o lecheka, harei zo mekudeshet kiddushei safek. V'afilu amra lo, hanach kiddushai al makom zeh, v'oto makom shel shnehen, harei elu kiddushei safek. If she is standing in a location which belongs to both of them, and he throws her the kiddushin and lands on the ground, then she is safek mekudeshet. This is due to a safek whether kinyan chatzer is effective when the location belongs both to the one attempting to give, the husband, and the one attempting to acquire, the wife. An example of this is the case we mentioned earlier in Halacha Dalet, where she tells the husband to put the kiddushin on a rock which belongs to both of them. Halacha Chaf Bet. Hayu omdin birshut harabim o birshut sheina shel shnehem v'zarak la kiddusheha karov lo eina mikudeshet karov la harezo mikudeshet mechetza la mechetza o sheyu safei karov la safei karov lo v'avdu kodem sheyagiv liada harezo mikudeshet b'safek. If both are standing in the Rishut HaRabim, or in a domain which doesn't belong to either of them, and he throws the kesef or shtar to her, the din depends on where it landed. If it landed closer to him, then she isn't mikudeshet. If it landed closer to her, then she is mikudeshet. And if it landed halfway between them, or if we don't know whom it was closer to when it landed, then she is safek mikudeshet if the kesef or shtar never fully made its way to her because it was lost or destroyed. The last part of the halacha clarifies that these measures of relative proximity, closer to him, closer to her, don't refer to physical distance as measured by a ruler. Closer to him means that he can still guard the kesef or shtar and she cannot. Closer to her means the opposite. Halfway between them means either that both are capable of guarding the item of kiddushin or that both are unable to. Thank you for joining me in learning today's parak of the Mishnah Torah. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas you'd like to share, I'd be happy to hear from you. Send me an email at mtorahyomi@gmail.com. That's M as in Mishnah, Torah, T-O-R-A-H, Yomi, Y-O-M-I, @gmail.com. Come back tomorrow as we continue with our next parak.